Welcome to Bridge Community Church. At The Bridge, we are starting off this year with an emphasis on growing together. Pastor Todd begins this by challenging us to become a part of a smaller group of believers with whom we can share, pray, care, and learn. From John 13, we see the example that Jesus gave of how his church will grow and thrive.
Well, you all get extra stars in your crown. On a snowy Sunday morning, here you are. You know, I was telling my wife I would cancel church this morning, but then I remembered we don't live in Georgia. She didn't like that. I liked it. Anyway, we are starting a new series, but before we get into it, you know, I'm a big Patriots fan. And, you know, they lost. But a lot of you don't know the story behind why they lost. Well, there's a reason, though. So Belichick gets his starters together, and he has his 11 guys, and he says, I'm not coaching you. I'm going to send you out on the field all by yourselves, and let me talk to you about the game plan. And he maps out the game plan. He sends them out, and they lost. He wasn't out there with them. Now you know that didn't happen. That's pretty ludicrous, isn't it? But you know, in John 13, that's kind of what Jesus did. He gets his starters together, his 11 guys. Well, he starts with 12. He sends one out who was going to betray him. But he has his 11. And he says, guys, the game is about to start, and I'm not walking on the field with you. You're going out on your own. You've got to make this work. You're going to start a church. You're going to start more than a church. You're going to start a movement. You're going to start a movement that will change the world. It's going to so drastically change the world. Nothing has ever been seen like what you guys are going to begin. And it's not going to be through violence. You're going to capture the attention, the hearts, the minds, the souls, the spirits. And God is going to be flowing through you to do this. And whole civilizations and cultures and kingdoms are going to be radically transformed. Because people's lives in those cultures are going to be radically transformed. And guys, I'm not going out there to coach you. You're going to do this. Now, he kind of said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to live in you and all that. But all of this was happening in John 13. And in John 13, he kind of outlines for them, if you're going to make this work, if this is going to happen, you're going to have to, and he ends the whole thing with a new commandment. You're going to have to practice this new commandment. And that's you love one another. You guys, you 11, right here. You're going to learn to love one another. If you're going to powerfully be used of me, you've got to make it work between you. In other words, you have to learn how to be very effective as a group of 11, because I'm trusting you with the entire game. Now, I think you can all believe me that if the 11 guys on a football team aren't playing as a team, there's no way they're going to win. No way at all. You can have the best talented people, and if they're not learning how to play together, they may be the best at their position in every position, the Pro Bowl. But if they're not playing together as a team, if they're letting their ego get in the way or whatever it is get in their way, they're not going to win. A mediocre team playing very well together will outperform an excellent team that's not playing together. And that's true here with church, with the kingdom of God, with the 11 disciples. And so Jesus is telling them, he says, you're going to have to learn to love each other. You're going to have to be very highly effective as a small group if you're going to be effective in advancing the kingdom and spreading it all over the world. And guess what? Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. There's things about church we cannot do between 10:30 and 12 on Sunday morning. We just can't do it. There's actually some of the most important features of a church. We're not going to make it happen right here in this context. And if we're going to be effective as a church, we've got to make these things happen. Things like praying together, right? And fellowshipping with one another. Encouraging each other. Building each other up. I don't highlight any one of you and say, let's start encouraging this person. I could do that, but the rest of you would be like, well, what about me? And yet in a smaller context, that can happen. The real church happens somewhere other than from 10:30 to 12 o'clock right here. What happens here is a celebration. We all come together to celebrate what Jesus is doing, what God is doing. And he is mind-blowingly doing amazing things here, right? I mean, it is really amazing what God is doing. It's awesome, and we stand in awe of it. And we celebrate it, and we praise him, we worship him. And yet there's some things that affect, you know, I've thought a lot about this. And there's very few things I would say this of, but if you had to make a choice between intentional, relational interaction with a small group, fellowship, and coming to church from 10:30 to 12, I would tell you, pick your small group. You'll grow more powerfully there. And your prayer and your encouraging, and as you talk to people about what you read in the Word of God, or if you haven't read and let them encourage you, more will happen in your life there than would happen here. Now, I want you to do both. I want you to do both. But if you had to choose, choose that. Because you will grow so, so dramatically in the context of that small group. I've grown so much in my life through conversations with people. And I grow sometimes when I go to a conference or hear a great sermon or worship moves me. It definitely does move me. But most of my growth happens either one-on-one or with a small group context. So we want to talk about that. We're going to look through John 13, if you want to turn your Bibles, or you can look up on the screen. And in it says, in just before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now again, right now he has 12 people. Towards the end he'll have 11. But he has his 12. These are his. In fact, later on in John 17, which is the same night, John 17, he says, I don't pray for the world. I pray only for those who you've given to me. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said, no, I'm not praying for everybody. I'm praying for the ones God has given me. And so he says here, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. His own, he loved them to the end. As we think about prayer, as we think about small groups, the first thing I want to get from this, and I think he's modeling for his disciples, is you've got to own your group. You've got to own it. Look at the next verse here. He says, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. I'm telling you, a small group won't work if you're going to dip your toe in the water to test it out. It's not going to happen for you. What's going to happen is your toes are going to get cold. Yeah. And then you're going to say, I don't think this is for me. I don't think I like it. Current's a little swift there. The water's a little chilly. I don't think I like it. You know, that's not how you do the small group. You do the small group. I mean, I got to be honest. When I go swimming, that's how I do it. That's how I do it. I'm like, and then you know what? Half the time, like, I don't think so. You want to do the small group, you walk up to the edge of the water, and you jump right in, right? And you go for it, and you get all wet. You own that group. You're like, this is it. I'm going for it. It's going to be uncomfortable. There's going to be a shock element to it. But guess what? In about 5 seconds, it's going to feel great. It's going to feel amazing. I'm going to love it. I'm going to really love it. But I got to jump in. You got to own your group. You got to say, this is my group. These are my people. Like we read there, Jesus said, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Your group will not be perfect. If they were before you joined it, it won't be after you join it for sure. But it wasn't before you joined it, and it won't be. You know, it's not going to be perfect because what forms your group is all fallen people, right? All people with needs, just like you and me. We all have needs. The point of the group is to say, hey, we want to be more like Jesus. And we believe that together we can get there faster, better. We can get there more accurately if we journey together. And so I'm not going to do this journey to become like Jesus as a lone hiker. I'm going to get a caravan. And we're going to go on this hike together as we try to be more like Jesus. And that's what it is. You got to own your group, though, and say, we're going to go to this together. And if there's stragglers, we're going to try to catch them up. If there's somebody who's hungry, we'll feed them and we'll share together. And we're just going to get there. But we're going to get there together. So you own your group. You make it yours. You rearrange your schedule to make that time work for you. And you show up. And you're there. And you show up and you're all there. And like you're engaging, you're emotionally there, you're intellectually there, you're relationally there, you engage in it. That's the first step to an important, effective small group. Jesus was modeling that. Now let's go to that verse. He got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. This was just fascinating. We were in our new member class. And last week I gave all of them a handout with all of the one another commands in the New Testament. You know, double-sided. A lot of one another. And basically the church operates best when they just do the one another commands. I mean, the one another commands is how we function. Pray for one another, encourage one another, love one another, serve one another. Anyway, number four on that list is wash one another's feet. And I just mentioned to the group, I said, you know, actually out of all the one another commands, that's the one I haven't obeyed yet. I haven't done it yet. It's not like I've disobeyed it necessarily. I just haven't gone out of my way to say, I got to do this. Well, boy, the next 10, 15 minutes, everybody's telling me how wonderful this is, right? And they're talking about how they've done this. And different ones share different stories. And at the end, I thought, well, I need to try this. I want to give it a whirl. How about you, Dan? You want to offer me your feet? Maybe later. Maybe we'll see. Okay. No, but I mean, I'll probably start with my wife. We'll start there. Maybe Gwinnett. I don't know. What is Jesus doing? When he's done washing, he says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. The next point here is serve your group. You want to own your group, but then you want to serve your group. 9 out of 10 times when you go to that group, you should be thinking, what can I give to this group? And prepare for it. And think about it. Even if you're not the leader of it. I mean, the thing is, a good group, yeah, you have a facilitator, but you don't really have a leader. It's like everybody is taking responsibility for the health of that group. And the idea here Jesus is modeling for his disciples, it says not only do you need to own each other, you need to serve each other. Wash each other's feet. Do the even kind of nasty things to help each other, to bless each other. When you're driving to your group or even throughout the day, throughout the week, in between, like, what is going on? How can I be praying for them? Is something going on in my life that I could bring to that group to share the story? What's taking place? You know, we have so much to give. So much to give. I made a list up. Let's put up that list here. Right? When you walk in, you can give them a smile. You may not feel happy, but guess what? You don't have to smile because you're happy. You can smile just because you want other people to feel happy. If you sincerely want them to be happy, you can smile at them and not be a hypocrite. Right? Smile. That's the first one. Greet. A lot of the Bible talks about greeting. Greet one another. Greet them. Hey, how have you been? And show an interest. Do you look at? Give them a hug, right? Actually, the Bible says greet one another with a holy kiss. I dialed it back a little to just a hug. Yeah, these are easy. Listen. Somebody tells you about their week. Listen, right? And don't interrupt. Just listen. Empathize with them. You know, the Bible says weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. They're saying connect with them emotionally. That's what that verse means in Romans 12. Connect with them. So if they're happy, you're happy for them. And if they're crying, then you feel that. Empathize. Share from your own life something you think that might be encouraging. Pray for each other. I mean, we can give all these things in a small group, encourage each other, you know, and you talk to them and praise them and say, you know what you're good at? You know what, you know, you did that really blessed me, or I saw you interacting with your kid this way, or I saw how you looked at your wife with just this kindness and this love. You know, encourage each other. And then goes on, bless each other. There's something really powerful. The Bible is filled with blessings. And we're to bless and curse not. And that's a command in James, right? We're to bless. Blessing is when you have something and you give it away. Like if you're very patient, you say, I want to bless you with patience. Or if you're feeling a lot of joy, I want to bless you with joy. You think, well, that sounds a little hokey. No, the Bible talks about doing this. We're to bless each other. We're to bless. You feel love. I want to bless you with love. I want to bless you with peace. There's power in those blessings, and we can give those away too. And then affirming each other. You know, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Satan hates you and has a horrible plan for your life. Satan is constantly wanting to affirm the false identity of who you are. And he uses all these things. He bombards your minds with these things. And you think, oh, I'm ugly, or I'm bad, or I'm all these things. And we need the people of God to affirm our true identity in Christ Jesus. You are accepted in the beloved. God loves you. He has a plan. He has a destiny for your life. And we affirm that. You can give all of those 10 things in a small group. But it's really hard for you to do it right here in the pew, isn't it? Really hard. Sometimes I make it happen at the end. I'll say, hey, everybody getting together in a little. But then I'm just creating small groups right here, right? You know. So how do you serve? You think about these 10 things. You say, what can I do to give as many of them away when I go into that group? All right, so we want to own your group. You want to serve your group. Let's look at the next verse here as Jesus goes on. Again, John chapter 13, this outline, this blueprint. He's talking to his 11 guys. Here's how you're going to do this. And if it's going to work, you have to work together as a group. Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. He's going to talk to him now about accept. You got to accept each other. No one's perfect. Right? No one's perfect. My wife could tell you I'm not perfect. If you ever thought I was, if you thought I was, she could pop that bubble real quick. And the more you get to know me, the more you'll know I'm not, from your own experience. I want to be around people who accept me, though. Now, it doesn't mean they don't challenge me to grow. I love the people who challenge me to grow. And many people have. So grateful for that. But in that challenge, they still accept me. And I could tell that they do. They love me. And I want to be that kind of person too, where I accept you, whoever you are, wherever you're at in your journey in life. And you know, the reality of my life is, since the time I was a kid, I wanted to grow up to be like Jesus. And I wanted to be perfect like him. I always have. I mean, as far back as I can remember. There was a day before I knew Jesus. I just don't remember those years of my life because they were so young. I always wanted to be like Jesus in every part of my being. And throughout my life, though, I've made major mistakes, failures that hurt my family, hurt other people. And I'm so grateful for the ones who still accepted me, even when I was ugly, even when I wasn't being like Jesus. Even when something came out of my mouth and, oh, that was the most, you know, or I did something, they still loved me. They accepted me. It didn't destroy the relationship. And in doing that, they were being like Jesus. Because Jesus, that's what the cross represents. That in spite of sin, in spite of failures, in spite of mistakes, Jesus is saying the relationship means more to me than the pain of your mistakes. And when somebody else is like Jesus and gives that to me, and then I can give it away to others, this is what a small group has to do. We have to accept one another. Not everybody is going to give you the warm fuzzies. Some people will grate you. Guess what? As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Sometimes we need the rough sharpening. Right? We have to accept each other. I looked up in the dictionary. Let's put up the Merriam-Webster here. Accept. Two definitions. A, to receive something offered. Willingly accept a gift. B, to be able or designed to take or hold. Something applied or added. A surface that will not accept ink. I want you to look at that idea of acceptance. Because we often think of acceptance as something we give, we offer to others, we accept them. Actually, accepting them means we're willing to receive from them. Right? Isn't that cool? It's like the surface it says that will accept ink or not accept ink. You know, you try to write on glass and the ink goes everywhere. It says, don't be that way. So what it is you go to your small group. What acceptance looks like is you are a surface, a page, that you're allowing the group to write into your life, to have influence in your life. You're going to receive from them. That's what acceptance looks like. That I am always willing to receive from you because I believe that you have something valuable to offer to me. When you have that attitude, you're going to be a posture of acceptance. You're pursuing relationship because they have something for you. And you get the humility there? You're better than me. You have something to give me. I want to receive from you. You have something I want. And so I'm opening up my heart to receive from you. And I want to give to you too. Acceptance is so powerful in a small group. We've got to have it. We've got to have it. So you want to own your group? You want to serve your group? You want to accept your group, right? Let's look at another verse now. Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." You know, I talked about, right? He had 12 and then he had 11. But he knew it was going to happen. He was troubled in small groups, and it shouldn't ever happen, but I've been in them where they happen. Probably will happen in yours too. You got to know this going into it. It may be one of them betrays the rest of you. You say something in that group and you thought it was going to stay there, and it should have stayed there. But somehow it gets out, or somehow people use it against you. And the temptation in that moment is to say, I'll never go back. Small groups isn't for me. I'm not going to trust anything like that ever again. Some of you have probably already had that happen to you, and you're already thinking that. You started thinking it when I started this message. You're like, I ain't ever doing a small group. I'm going to get hurt because I've done it before and I've been hurt. I just know if we're going to make small groups work, we all have to be willing to forgive one another. We have to forgive the group. We have to. And not allow the pain that sometimes will happen or has happened in the past to prevent us from moving forward. If we're afraid of pain from hurting, nobody would ever get married. We get married because we believe that the joy of the relationship of love, the love, the joy, the hope, the being there together, the care, the mutual care, the being able to take care of each other and bring restore peace when life feels chaotic, of just being there for each other. We believe that all of those benefits of marriage outweigh the potential that that person may really hurt me deeply and badly. And so we commit to something. We make a vow, till death do us part. And we make that vow, and we know that we'll hurt them, they'll hurt me, but we're going to see it through, we're going to stick it out, we're going to be there together, and that's a promise we make. And then it gets tested. And sometimes, not everybody survives that test. And God is a God of mercy and forgiveness. At some point, every relationship gets tested. And you have to come to a place of saying, I'm going to forgive. I know when they didn't join this group, when they woke up that morning, they weren't trying to hurt me. They weren't trying to betray me. You know, the group didn't get disbanded because one person in the group betrayed the rest. They stayed together. They saw it through. You got to forgive your group. They're not always going to be there when you thought they would be there. And sometimes the neglect will hurt. Or sometimes they'll betray you, like we read there. And that's definitely going to hurt. Sometimes they're not, they're not going to be perfect. And in spite of all that, you're still going to love them. You're still going to serve them. You're still going to own them. You're still going to accept them. And that means at times you're going to have to forgive them. You know what the tendency is? I know this happens. You get hurt for whatever reason. And then you think, you know, I just don't want to go this time. And that one night is like, oh, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be awkward. I'm not going to go. That's why when I said 9 times out of 10, you want to go with something to give, about 1 time out of 10, give or take, you're going to go because you need to go. And you have nothing to give. And that's okay. All right? And you go, and you just, because what happens if you don't go, the next time it's harder to go. And then the next time, and then you get in a pattern of not going, and before you know it, it's not your group anymore. It's when you least feel like going, you've got to go. Amen. And you've got to be real, and you've got to just say, you know what, this hurt. And I didn't even want to come tonight because it hurt. But I know I need this. I know we need each other. And people pray for you. And you don't give that night. You just receive. And it'll be okay. All right? So, I know as we are pushing forward here, so many amazing things happening. I mean, it really blows my mind what God is doing. But I also know that for us to keep growing, we need to become intentional and deliberate in how we relate to each other and fellowship with each other. And give each other permission. And even say these words, like, you know what? If you have something, if you want to take this conversation spiritual, you want to pray, you want to encourage, whatever, I want you to know I would welcome that. Sometimes we need just to break the ice and tell our friends, I would welcome that. I want it. I want you to encourage me. I want you to ask me how I'm doing in scripture reading or what my relationship with the Lord is like. So we want to continue in all the exciting things God is doing. I'm so excited about 2020. One of the things that I'm most excited about is a small group and making it work. And I know to make it work, we got to follow the blueprint Jesus outlined for his disciples in John 13. We have to own it. We have to serve and give to it. We're going to have to accept everybody there, and we're going to have to forgive. I wanted us to kind of remember those words, so I redid the order. Yeah. Every small group needs a sofa, right? Every group needs a sofa. I mean, that's where you really hang out and relax. So S-O-F-A, right? S-O-F-A. You're going to serve your group. You're going to own your group. You're going to forgive your group. You're going to accept your group, right? Every small group needs a sofa. Make sure there's a sofa, you're a small group, and remind yourself what is a small group is all about in John chapter 13, right? Serve it, own it, forgive, accept. And if you'll do that, you'll have powerful, powerful, powerful small groups because it's the blueprint Jesus gave his disciples. In Acts chapter 15, I'm going to end with this verse. A group of civic leaders gathered together and said, these are the men who have turned the world upside down. See, they got it right. That group of 11, they got it right. They gathered together. They prayed together. They met together. They talked together. They encouraged each other. They served each other. They did it all. And they got it right. They weren't right all the time. They rebuked each other occasionally. We read about that. But they stuck it through. They stayed together. They got it right. And then in Acts chapter 17, which is about 20 years after Jesus said these words, these are the men who have turned the world upside down. And I just know if we will get it right, we will turn our city of Bristol and the surrounding area upside down. Because that's the power of what happens when we are intentional in interacting with each other. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. Thank you, God, for how good you are. Thank you for your grace, your mercy. Thank you, God, that you're calling us into this. And I know it's scary. And some of us want to kind of dip our foot in the water. And I pray, Lord, that you give us the courage to just jump right in and go for it. I know some of us have been hurt in the past. And I pray, Father, that you would give us the grace to forgive and to stick with it. I pray, Father, that you would just breathe into this whole endeavor that we're starting here. God, we look forward to what you're going to do and how you're going to use us and how it's going to work. We love you so much, Jesus. In your name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from The Bridge Community Church. At The Bridge, we are committed to fulfilling God's vision for our families, His church, and the community of Bristol. We are here to help you realize His vision for you. You can call us at 860-583-8352, visit us on the web at bridgetochrist.com, or worship with us at 43 School Street in Bristol, Connecticut. Our Sunday worship starts at 10:30 a.m. Join us as we help each other build our bridge to Christ.